Welcome to Beauty and the Brain with your hosts, Dr. Chris Crowley and nurse practitioner Jerry Drinkard. Get ready to dive into the latest in revolutionary treatments, cutting-edge devices, and wellness secrets. Whether you're a consumer or provider, we're here to empower you at the forefront of beauty and aesthetics.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Beauty and the Brain, the podcast where we discuss all things aesthetics. I'm your co-host, Dr. Chris Crowley.
And I'm Jerry Drinker, family nurse practitioner. Together, Chris and I own Skin and Tonic, a med spa that's located here in Pace, Florida. And today we're going to be talking about some things in 2025 that we feel are either underhyped or overhyped.
Yeah, I think it's kind of exciting because we didn't have an episode back at the beginning of the year where we were talking about what we anticipated was going to be hot in 2025. But now that we're well into the year, we can kind of look at the trends and what's going on and talk about, you know, really what do we feel was overhyped and hadn't really lived up to the hype, and what some things that may be like undervalued. So it's things that we love as treatments, but didn't get the hype that we think they deserve. So I think it'll be a fun episode. So I can tell you, device-wise, spoiler alert, it's going to be a good year, at least for Skin and Tonic, for plasma devices, because we love those a lot.
Yeah, I was a little underwhelmed to start with. And so I've been converted. And as you've said, and you were before I was, with one of the plasma devices, in specifically the Plexor, and it's now quickly became one of my favorites here. I think we're pretty fortunate. We're the only clinic in the panhandle that has it, and probably the, what's the closest one? Panama City, maybe?
Yeah, I'm not even sure.
I think it's a little bit underrated for the price of the device from a practitioner standpoint. And for the price of the treatments from a consumer standpoint. I think if you had asked me last year, I said that Plexor was overhyped. And now I think that it's been like an underhype because of, like, you converted me. I'm a huge fan.
Well, I think one of the things about it, and really to me, this leads right into what we see as a trend. I don't think it's overhyped. I think that we've seen this coming in the industry. It's proven to be true. And I think it basically fits with what we've known for years is bioregeneration, biostimulation. So looking at your body's ability to make collagen, elastin, to give you a more natural look, a longer lasting result. And so we can do that a number of ways. And Plexor fits right into that category. It's one of the tools. So when we look at that, it's a way that we can use plasma to stimulate your fibroblasts, which are the cells in your body, to make its own collagen and elastin. And then we can do a lot of other things with that. So probably my favorite product to inject is Sculptra. We have exosomes that we're using now, which are cell signaling particles where we can communicate with your cells and tell.
Not injected.
No. Yeah, we're using it, but we are using them, right? And so we can do them a lot of different ways, either with like Plexor or with microneedling. But we're still using them for biostimulation. So a lot of different things that we can do on that. And I think that long-term benefit and glow that you get from it, we really just can't accomplish with neurotoxins or hyaluronic acid fillers alone. I think maybe something that's still underhyped, more people talk about it. And anytime we do a topic on it, it seems to get a lot of interest, but it's not talked about a lot. I want you to elaborate some, is more on, let's just say, sexual wellness.
Even though that, you know, we're in 2025, I still think there's such a taboo around any sexual topics at all, that even though it's a health related topic, is something people still aren't comfortable talking about. Because I always say that like sexual health is like taboo until you talk about it, and then it's just part of our health. And so and I try to incorporate that into a lot of the consultation processes that I do here at the clinic. And as we develop relationships with people, they learn what we do at the clinic, either through our social media, our website, or just conversation. We have a giant sparkly penis sitting out in my office, and I think it's one of the best icebreakers that I've had, because people ask about it and ask why we have it sitting there. And once you talk about it and you open the door, then people are much more comfortable to talk about either an issue they've had or an issue that their partners had, or they know someone that could benefit from one of the things. And it's, we don't just do male sexual health. I say it because of the penis sitting there, but we also do a lot of female sexual health. We in this business, and especially my patients, I treat a lot of perimenopausal, postmenopausal women who start suffering from some of the sexual disadvantages that come along with hormone changes. And so we're able to address that here at the clinic.
Yeah. So there's a lot of things we can do, both for functional reasons. So, you know, from erectile dysfunction to vaginal dryness, painful intercourse, to aesthetic indications. So whether it's excessive, you know, hair in an area that someone doesn't want it, we can do laser hair removal. Or if they, you know, want a thicker penis, we can do filler. Or smoother labia, we can do PRP or filler. Stress incontinence. So we can do functional and aesthetic treatments to really help people feel better about their intimate health and well-being. Other things that you think are kind of maybe overhyped, anything that falls into that category right out of?
We were pretty excited last year for a new product that came out called SkinVive. SkinVive, it came out, and I'm not saying that it's not a good product, but it wasn't a great fit for us. We just didn't see the response from patients or the results that we had hoped for. We treated each other with it. We treated like our staff with it. We've treated patients with it. And we were very excited for it to come out for the hydration and glow, and found that it was, I felt like it was a little bit overrated for the result that was expected. How'd you feel about it?
The same, like definitely overhyped and didn't deliver on the results that we expected. I also found it hard really to position it, you know, kind of with some of the other things that we do. So, you know, a lot of people talk about it as an injectable moisturizer. It brings hydration, helps with fine lines, wrinkles, but we see that a lot with some of the other biostimulants that we do. So it's not the same mechanism, but we do have other things that we can do that created some of the similar looks. So to me, it just didn't seem to last or create the results, especially for the price point. So it's a little bit higher price point. We needed, you know, a couple of syringes to see a result. The result was, we didn't have any bad results from it, but it was short-lived and not that impressive for the price. So I do think that was a little bit overhyped.
And we knew that we got the results with some of the other things that that were proven and just worked better in our hands.
So when we, you know, look at other things that I think something that we're dealing with right now that the rest of the country is dealing with right now, and we talked about overhyped, trendy to things that may be undervalued, is looking at the GLPs for weight loss and body contouring. We've had a lot of success with patients on the GLPs and the in our practice. So we've used semaglutide, tirzepatide, the Wegovy, and Zepbound, actually the name brands. We've prescribed them. And we have used compounded in the past. And so with the compounding laws that have been changing, it's been difficult to keep up with, you know, the latest that's on ongoing with that. From a result standpoint, there's no doubt. We've had many patients that have had drastic weight loss and body changes. And we've been able to incorporate that with some of the other devices that we use in the office. So when there's skin laxity, there's devices we can use for that. We have muscle building and muscle toning devices. So we have some of the Zimmer devices that we can use to help build muscle as you're losing that weight. But the thing is, we're having to deal with the challenge now of not being able to really use the compounded anymore. And how are we going to transition to, you know, get away from that? And so we can use the medications from the actual pharmacy. They have some programs in place now that we're working with directly with the company to get the medication to our patients. But the downside of that is it's significantly more cost to the patient.
It is more cost, and a lot of the patients are stressed about it. And I think initially the whole goal was the weight loss. That was like the reason the majority of our patients went on it. But what they've seen are the benefits, the side effects of that. The weight loss is like, we have several patients now that are no longer on blood pressure medication. We have patients who've been able to decrease their medication. One came off of metformin, for instance. We have, you know, patients that have, we have two patients that, not that it's marketed for this, but got pregnant following treatment. And so,
well, and let's be clear, we're not saying that the GLPs like increase their fertility or made them get pregnant. What we're saying is that maybe it had some anti-inflammatory, or maybe the weight loss alone helped them function better in other ways. Because we do know that, and I think it's interesting you bring it up, that and said it's not marketed for this, because what we're seeing is for inflammatory conditions. And so a lot of that is being used off-label. And so we do have to look at ways that we can use this in a safe manner for patients. But also, we were just talking earlier, and there's on the West Coast a lot right now, they're using it for a skin glow. It's definitely not marketed for that, but they're doing microdosing to get this nice glow to the skin. They're using it. What else did we talk about? Some for dementia. There's some studies about dementia and how it decreases the chance of that. And a lot of that is through a proposed anti-inflammatory mechanisms that we may not well understand yet. So I think it's interesting you bring that up, because, you know, with those two anecdotal cases, we don't really know, was it an inflammatory process or not that led to that fertility issue. But I think there is without a doubt a lot of evidence coming out that there are a lot of benefits that we may not understand about this quite yet. And so I think that not just us, but I think a lot of providers will struggle with how are they going to get this to patients that they can get the benefits from without saying this is just a medication for the rich and famous, because that's all that may be able to afford it.
Another one that we don't even have on this list, and is, I don't know that it's underrated, but I think it's been under-recognized. We've used it for a long time here, but NAD. And I think for some reason, I don't know what the surge has been recently, but we've had like multiple requests by name for NAD, and maybe related to our podcast or different patient testimonials that we've done, maybe something nationally, because we've actually had people call here to ask us about if we're prescribing the nasal form. And so I do think that NAD is something, even though it's been around for a while, and I don't think it's trendy at all, there's certainly been something that's called kind of a resurgence of it, even though it's been kind of a staple of our practice for a long time.
Yeah, you know, I love NAD. It's time probably for me to get my infusion. We even tried something recently with a transdermal patch for delivery of that, because to me the biggest downside of that, and maybe the reason is not more hyped up or more frequent use of this or demand, is the amount of time it takes to get the infusion. So for the NAD infusions that we do in the practice, it takes sometimes several hours. And so for people to get time in their schedule to do it, it can be a little bit of a challenge. And so I do think that there are these alternate, forms of delivery that probably, may not be quite as effective. You may not be able to get quite the doses we can, or you can't get the doses that we can in the IV. But then there's a trade-off of they may have the benefits at home. And so again, with that, we also are constantly evaluating supply chains, pharmacies, and making sure that anything that you get here at the clinic or that's prescribed by us is actually through a reputable licensed compounding pharmacy. And so there's a lot of those things online where they'll do these things, and you may be able to find some of this, but there's no way we can guarantee the quality of that, or in fact, if what you're receiving is actually really even the real product. So we have had trouble getting it. Certainly, it's available in IV form. We can get that prescription available and do the infusions. And there are some nasal sprays, and we're definitely open to working with compounding pharmacies. If we find a good source of that, I would say that we'll bring it on. But sometimes when people call and ask and we're not able to do it, it's because we can't find a reputable or reliable source through an accredited pharmacy that we can get that supply.
Great product, been around for a while. And
have you tried the nasal spray?
I haven't.
So I tried it a while back. I don't know that we have access to it again now, but I didn't. And I also didn't know until just now that we were, that you brought it up, that we had patients inquiring about it, because we can certainly go back to one of the compounding pharmacies that we work with and see if they have a form of that available, because they did for a while. Personally, I found it kind of cumbersome, because to get the right dose, you had to do a lot of sprays multiple times a day. And so it was quite expensive to get the dose that you needed to really have an impact. But we can circle back around with that. And because I didn't even realize, I know people were asking about NAD, but I didn't know we had been asked about the nasal.
Yeah, I think it'd be worth checking on.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about all of the different types of biostimulants, not the injectables that are approved, but like exosomes, polynucleotides, platelet-derived growth factors, so things like the Ariessence that's out there? Do you think those are overhyped, or do you think really that is the future?
I think it's the future. I think it's going to be the future. I think we'll end up with, it's already available in other countries. I think we'll end up with some injectable exosomes in the States. I don't know how long that'll be before we get them, but I think that's the future. I think it's especially this younger generation that's coming up, that's looking for a more natural look, and looking to do less filler, more biostimulation. Yeah. What's your thought on it?
No, I think it's the future as well. I agree with you totally. And I think we're seeing it here with our results being amplified by using those adjunctive biostimulants along with what we've done for years. And I think we're seeing like just drastically better results. In terms of trends, do you think this is an actual trend and something that is we're just now starting to see, or do you think it's a marketing tactic when we discuss multimodal treatments and bundling things together? Do you think it's a way just for us to bundle that, market it, and make more money? Or do you actually think that this is something that we're seeing changes outcomes in the patients and what treatments we're performing?
I think a little bit of all of that, because I think it's a lot easier to market something when the result is a lot better. It's really hard to market something and sustain a marketing campaign when the product doesn't work. And so I think these multimodal things that we've always done, we've, you know, maybe not to the extent that what some of the companies are asking for, or promoting, not asking, but, you know, they've done a lot of studies with Galderma, with the HIT panels and, you know, using different combinations of treatments. For years, we've done combinations of PRP therapy with microneedling, or we've done, you know, things with neurotoxins and or combined fillers with PRP. And so there have been a lot of these things out there. Or even we just talked about old therapy and your days where you would go and treat all these different layers of skin. So those are obviously ways to get better results. And do I think it's a marketing? I think those before and afters are phenomenal, but I think it's because you get great results.
So let's finish this up by going this rapid fire. So I want you to give me your take on these following things. I'm going to say them and you get 15 seconds to tell me your answer. You do so well under pressure.
I do. I love pressure. I'm going to be popping my toes.
Those of you who didn't see that episode yet, watch. You're going to see one of Jerry's habits is clicking his toes.
When I get nervous.
When he gets nervous. All right, Russian lip.
Russian lips, I think you get a good immediate result. I think you can alter the shape of the lips easily. I think that you increase your risk of filler migration. I think it's very trendy. I don't think it's as safe as what people may anticipate. And it's something that I've kind of gotten away from.
Dermaplaning.
I love dermaplaning. It's something that's been around for a long time. It's something that's very safe. It's something that helps with exfoliation. Patients love it because their makeup goes on much smoother.
Overfilled cheeks.
That's out.
CO2 lasers.
Love it. Absolutely love it. It's my new favorite for myself. Minimal downtime if you do it at a low energy for more aggressive treatment. You have more downtime.
Semaglutide.
Absolutely love it. It has got a lot of health benefits. It keeps me in a size 32 instead of size 34.
We should say that we are now using prescription Wegovy and Zepbound, but that is the prescription branded forms of semaglutide, which is we can no longer get compounded at the moment. Okay. PDO threads.
Not for me.
Brow lifts.
With PDO threads? I prefer brow lifts with old therapy.
Okay. Very good. So I only had to ring the bell in the beginning. Like Pavlov's dog, he's easy to train.
Yeah. Pavlov probably got bit by his dog at some point.
All right, your turn.
All right, Daxxify.
Daxxify. Overhyped, I think. It's a good neurotoxin, but I don't think it's going to necessarily give the longevity that it originally was hyped up to give. It's a bit expensive for a premium product. Maybe some issues with...
P-shot.
Underhyped. So I think that it's beneficial. We have such good results with it. High patient satisfaction, very safe procedure.
Neogen Plasma.
Definitely under hype. So we have phenomenal results with that with minimal downtime, virtually zero complications from that. So definitely under hype. Hope to do more of it this year.
Hyperdilute radius.
Under hype. So I think it's a biostimulant that we are hearing more about. So I think we're on the up swing of that. Whether we use that or a Sculptra, you know, Sculptra is one of my favorites, but I also think you get very good results with hyperdilute radius.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in to another episode of Beauty and the Brain. We look forward to seeing you next week.
We'll see you soon.